All right, everybody, welcome to the Bruce Almighty Podcast. My name is Bruce Almighty. Hold on, let me get this mic up right quick. Mic check, mic check, mic check. Anyways, we're going to get into a little bit of music today. For a minute now, I've been saying I don't want to be a music podcast. I don't want to be a gossip podcast. I just want to get on here and talk my shit. But the truth of the matter is, music is part of my passion, something that I love, something that, I've always embraced. New music, I've always, like the whole thing with Here First Radio is I wanted to introduce people to music they may not know about. And I'm going to continue to do the same thing to this day. Shouts out to all the artists that have supported me along the way. Best Believe, 4Pound, 10Foe, Van Dam Body Slam, PCC, MG the Bad Guy especially. MG's always, you know, been a voice of reason. Triple J, you know, like, I can go on for hours about all the people that showed me love and support in the past. And this episode's gonna, you know, kind of be about, hold up, we got a caller. Hold up, let me put you on speaker. All right, MG.
What's good?
I was actually in the middle of recording an episode of the podcast, so I might as well put you on speaker. And
that's what's up.
I'm actually doing this this episode right now is just doing a little backdrop why I'm not doing a straight music podcast, why I'm kind of all over the place, why I'm just kind of, this is kind of more like a hobby than a career move for me. And I was just talking about all the artists that supported me along the way, and I right. just said MG the Bad Guy, and boom, there you go. So your timing was impeccable.
Impeccable.
I was talking about new projects, and I was talking about, you know, well, I didn't get to it yet because you called and interrupted my whole spiel, but that's cool. You know, better you tell it. I've been having this album on repeat, Into the Black.
Right.
Tell me about that. I did notice it's a little shorter than some of your projects in the past, but
right. It's more to the point because it's like this project is really personal. You dig?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I noticed this has a very throwback feel to it. Like a lot of the tracks are retro. Not just throwback. It won't remind you of throwback hip hop. It's gonna take you back to some throwback rock and roll too. And I was like, when I first heard it, I'm like, hold up, this is different from the MG I heard in the past. Like,
right.
I was like, damn, you got now. I want to go listen to System of a Down too. So,
right. It take you different places.
What put you in that? What put you in that headspace to really take it back to that?
Just basically like cut myself off from like the normal stuff that you hear now, like they playing on the radio, what everybody else is like doing, because most of the time you hear like everybody sounds the same now, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I wanted to hear and make something different. I just wanted to give people something different.
So you think music is has taken a backseat to creativity? You think, or backseat to creativity is?
Yeah, there's no more of that. Like, you already know what you're gonna get. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go and grab a mixtape from the Migos or some shit,
you know what's going on.
Or any like popular artist now, I already know what the fuck I'm gonna hear. Like a DJ Khaled album, like we talked about the other day. Like you already know what you're gonna get. You know what I'm saying? You know how that shit's gonna taste.
Shouts out to Khaled. I hope Khaled don't take this the wrong way, but I personally feel DJ Khaled album is like the guy that's got on all the name brand shit and thinks he's fly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He right. thinks it's all fly just because it's all Gucci. You know, that belt looks ridiculous, it's, but it's Gucci.
It's not what you wear, it's how you wear it.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? And he wears it well. Let me set the record straight. His albums are always good, but you like they're always predictable.
They're, right, it's generic. It's starting to get generic.
It's, you know exactly what it's going to be, and you'd be like, okay, I'm going to play this for a couple days, and then on to the next one. And yeah. we were talking about, me and you had a conversation today with, like, creative. Like, being creative is people aren't really taking chances and taking risks anymore.
No, they're not. They're going by this template now.
And that's what I loved about your album is
cliche.
Your album sounded like a risk, like that.
Right.
You know, I loved it, but that don't necessarily mean everybody's gonna love it. It's not for everybody.
This was like, cause I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I mean, being in the game for a long time underground, like I was unsure about it. You know what I'm saying? Like releasing it because of how different it is. You know what I'm saying? So I just was like, fuck it, I'm gonna take a chance. If my core fans fuck with it, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
But when the thing about being creative is you can actually introduce yourself to new fans.
Right, that's
the fun thing about creating is like, okay, do you just want to have the same fans that everybody else has? And that's why, you know, because I was thinking about this the other day. If all the rappers sound alike, that means they're pretty much sharing all the same fans. Right. It's the same demographic. They're all targeting the same demographic.
And that demographic, and they're not loyal either. They like jump from like artist to artist and be like, oh, we don't fuck with him no more. Or he sounds better. Or he took his style and turned it into something else.
They all took each other's style. Like what?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't think there's a whole lot of originality. And if you think that some of the great names in hip hop, not just hip hop, but in music, in particular, the thing that always makes someone a great is originality and standing out and being unique. And I think that's what so much, like, you can't be another Rick Ross. You can't be another Outkast. You can't be another Future. You can't be another, like, be your motherfucking self.
Self, dog. And that's where longevity comes in. That's where longevity comes in at, because it's like you got these dudes that come out and they sound just like their favorite rapper. And then it's like, okay, what else you got? You know what I'm saying? And then it just, they run out of steam fast.
Well, a lot of them, they'll look up how to make a beat on YouTube. How do I make a trap beat? They'll get on there, they'll make a trap beat that sounds exactly like the beat they made on YouTube. And then they're going to get on there, they're gonna rap their little bars about some lean or some Xannies or something, and then they're going to get out there, and they're going to try to get on a festival.
Yeah. Right.
It's like they're all doing the same thing, following the same. And I was talking about in my podcast, like how I'm trying to do a lot of things different. You know, I talked about skating. I talked about, you know, how with my past, it's unique. And I think people don't appreciate the uniqueness of themselves. They try so hard to fit in
and be somebody they're not, or be somebody
and then this is what's crazy. You got a whole bunch of people looking the same saying they're different.
that is the most mind-boggling thing I could ever imagine. Dog, like the game switches everything is just upside down now, dog. Everything that we would have like laughed at in the 90s and the early 2000s, it's acceptable now. So it's like, if I say something, I'm a hater. You feel me?
Yeah, it's it. And I'm okay with being a hater, because like, I don't have to understand it. Like, I don't have to understand the culture. Like, it's not for me. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's and that's why I got away from the rap scene when I got out of prison, and I was trying to figure out what I'm gonna do. Am I gonna do Here First Radio? Right. When I first started this podcast, it was the Hear It First Radio podcast. And then I'm doing it for a couple episodes, and then somebody said, why is it even the Hear It First Radio podcast? You're you. You're not Hear It First Radio no more. You're not even doing the radio no more. And you know what? I'm like, you know what? You fucking right. You're right. It's going to be the Bruce Almighty podcast from here on out, and that's what I've been running with.
It should be all you. It should be like, you feel like.
And I'm not looking. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking to capture that same moment I had, because, like, for those who don't know, I had a little steam when I was doing my thing on the radio. I had a little bit of a buzz.
You had a buzz, bro. You had a good buzz. You being humble.
I am being a little humble, but it's I wasn't to where, like, I'm looking at a lot of these people today that are doing what I was doing back then, but they're doing it a lot better. And I look back and I'm like, man, I could still be doing that, but it don't fit me no more. I don't have the passion for that I used to. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
No offense to rappers, but rappers are tough to deal with. I mean,
no, they is.
They want some free shit all the time. They don't understand this is a business.
Well, like, I can tell you, they are.
They're like, oh, I made your show. Oh, okay, it's if you say so. me not wanting to deal with rappers, but I have relationships with a lot of rappers. I have a lot of friendships, and there's some that I consider real friends. Like, you one of them people that showed up to my going away. I don't know if a lot of people know, when I went to prison, my mom threw a going away party for me when I was waiting to get sentenced.
It was lit, too.
And it it was a house party, and it was packed.
Yeah, that shit was lit. Never forget that day, man.
And you got to remember, this is people celebrating me going to prison, but it wasn't, like, it was hard to explain the moment.
All right.
But it was just people getting together because we all love the culture. We love what we were doing with the culture.
It was a lot of love that day, man.
And when I went into prison, man, I was surprised when I came into prison. People knew me from my radio. I came in, they're like, "Oh, we listen to." I didn't know they were like channeling my shit on FM radio and other areas. Like, they would broadcast my show on FM stations, on like bootleg stations.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Oh, that we heard your show. You got the Rush of the Flush." And I'm like, "How the fuck y'all heard that? I'm an internet show. How do y'all don't have the internet?"
Yeah, but you won't believe how shit travels, bro.
Yeah, so my show was a little bigger than I thought. And the thing funny, there was this rap group from Orlando, and I flushed their music.
Like, oh shit!
And I was in there with one of the rappers, and their song ended up being a hit. Like, it's escaping my mind right now, but the song, and he said, "Dude, I'm gonna thank you. You flushed my shit." He said, "But you made us get back in the studio and we redid the whole song. And when we redid it, it worked." And it was like a local hit in Orlando, but then they all got caught up in some bullshit and ended up going away for a minute. So with that being said, like, we getting off topic. We were talking about originality and people all sounding the same, trying the same thing to get on. It's like,
and calling it different.
And calling it different. They're like, "Oh, well, I did it like this. I didn't have 808s. I had this." And I'm like, "Man, but you sound the same. The content is the same.
The whole feel is the same.
You got a group of people trying to follow what Tekashi 6ix9ine was doing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Then you have a group of people following, like, let's say J. Cole's success, and they're trying to mimic what he did, or Future did. It's like they'll take one rapper and they're going to try to mimic it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it works for them, they like, "Oh, it'll work for me." You know what I'm saying?
And they're making good money doing it. And that's the thing that's discouraging is people are finding success. So when I heard you take a risk, and it sounded great, by the way, your production always stands out. Like, your production always stands out. Like, I kept going with different favorite songs on it. There's I think there's 10 songs on it. It's like a 30-minute project.
Yeah, I kept it short and simple.
Somehow I ended up on MG Radio when I'm out skating, and that Draco song came on with the System of Downbeat. And I had to stop, and I had to back that song up. I'm like, "Hold up. Let me back this up," because it was unexpected. Because first came on, I'm like, "Oh, is this about to go to a rock song?" I thought it was the System of a Down song coming on.
Yeah.
And then I hear you, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh shit." I said, "Oh shit."
That's what's up.
So we talked, and I think the conversation we had is not only being unique in the content you put together, but I think it would be great if people start taking chances and risks in how they get the content out and who they get it to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we're not going to speak too much on our idea. I'm not going to say anything about our idea because I want it to work first. Because I'm going to keep that to ourselves, because I don't want people copying our shit before we do it.
Exactly.
But I'm just going to say, let's all take a moment and think about how you're getting content to people. Are you just sharing your shit on social media? Let me share this on Twitter. Let me share this on Instagram. Let me share this on Facebook. And it's crazy because if you look at all the social media sites, you got the same people saying the same shit on four different platforms.
Right. And that's weird too.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. And that's what's crazy is I try, like, okay, so my Facebook, I do all my comedy shit. My Instagram shit is more like promoting the podcast, more like, hey, this is what's going on with my family. Here's me, my daughter hanging out, whatever. It's more of that, right? And then Twitter is more my ideas coming out. So I try to work my social media differently. Like each one I'm trying to use for a different purpose.
Right, right. Because I'll sit on my phone all day and be like, between working and shit, and in the studio, I'll be on my phone, email, Facebook, Instagram, text, email.
So do you have a team or do you do pretty much everything by yourself?
I do everything myself, bro.
Okay.
Everything. I got a, only thing I got on my team is I got my own engineer. He masters all my shit. You know, Goldfinger, he's been doing that shit for years.
Goldfinger's a legend in Palm Beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then my girl, Marta, out of Poland, she does all my artwork. She's a genius.
Yeah. Your artwork is phenomenal. It definitely stands out. Like, the thing I notice about your artwork, it's not a lot of pictures of you. You don't have the traditional, like, your artwork looks more rock and roll than rap.
Right.
This is why this project to me sounded so like it stood out, because the project, I'm not saying it's a little rock and roll. I'm saying there's songs on there that feel rock and roll, right?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, hell yeah.
You've been influenced by a lot of rock culture.
Yeah, a lot of heavy metal, a lot of alternative.
What was that like? Because you're closer to you up there in age. How was that like? Around, especially I know where you come from, what you come from, and all that. Was that like something you kept from your friends? Like, okay, when they're not around.
Yeah. It was. They would never know. People know now because of my music and actually taking that chance and expressing that shit. Like, people didn't know that used to be my escape. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That used to be my escape.
Well, I'm glad that your escape was so off the chain, because it seems like you got a little Scarface in there, you got little Rick Ross in there, and you got a little Metallica and
yeah. That's my favorite band.
I seen them live once.
Man, dog. I'd love to go see them live, man.
This is during the MTV, when the MTV actually used to play music videos. And it was they used to play this video, Enter Sandman, every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, Enter Sandman would come on. And there was a festival. This is like before festivals were a thing. It was like Ozfest or something like that. And it was Metallica. I don't know if you remember this, but this is a long time ago. They came to Miami. It was Metallica. It was like a Ozfest or something, but they also had Bone Thugs and Harmony on the ticket.
Oh, I think I remember that one.
And I was going, it was like a rock and rap type deal. They had, it was like, I want to say it was Lollapalooza or some shit like that. Or
it was something like that. I think they had Swizz Beatz playing the drums or some shit.
Yes, it was nuts. And they came up there and they did their thing, Metallica. I'm like, and I wasn't a big rock fan then. I mean, I went through I wouldn't consider myself a rock. I like Nirvana. I like Guns N' Roses. I like, you know, shit like that. But I wasn't a huge rock fan.
The greats.
Yeah, I was a fan of that. And when I went, I seen them perform. I'm like, wow. Because this is when Metallica was really Metallica.
Right.
And it was just awesome to see. And then you see the influence in your artwork. Like, your artwork reminds me of the old Megadeth album covers. Like, if you remember it was a lot of skulls, a lot of zombies and shit like that, and that whole thing. Hell so
That's what I was going for. That's the look I was going for.
And I'm like, man, this stands out. Now, what's next? Like, what's your plans with this project? Because I know you are just now getting it out there, and it's just starting to catch steam. I don't want to get into the house, but you got a lot of different plans for the way you market this and the way you push this.
Yeah. Besides the new plan that you basically introduced, I'm gonna give you the props on that. Besides that, just basically just doing a lot of legwork, man. Like, I don't see people doing that anymore. We just talked about all the digital shit that everybody does, like people are used to. Like, you don't see people actually out promoting their shit, going to clubs. I'm gonna go anywhere and everywhere where there's a crowd of people at. You understand what I'm saying? Like, on the road, like, really, like.
Do you think clubs are getting overrated as far as picking up new fans?
I'm not necessarily sure. Like, you know what I mean? It's the right.
I have a theory on that.
I think it's which kind of clubs. You understand what I'm saying? Because you got certain kind of clubs where the people are just like stuck up and they ain't really like with that shit. Then you got some to where they're like ready to hear some new shit.
Because I feel like clubs now are just looking for that Instagram moment. You look on it.
Yeah, they're looking for that. Yeah, as well as the DJs.
Yeah, they're up there. They're just in there. They want to be on the couch, take a picture. And if you watch, like, this is why I don't even go to clubs no more. I thought about how foolish that whole scene is becoming. Maybe I'm old and I've become that guy. Hey, get off my grass, old guy. It looks foolish now when you think about it in retrospect. Like, I would spend a grip. I'd spend a nice little chunk of change trying to get ready for the club, getting an outfit, for trying to impress a bunch of strangers that I'll never see again. Like, you think about the psychology in that, how insecure that is. And I'm like, that feels so stupid now.
Yeah, for one night. To me, it's like, I don't understand unless you're trying to go meet a girl or some shit, or vice versa or whatever. But,
Well, I think it's changed from what it used to be. I think, when I was younger, we were going to dance and have fun.
Yeah. Now it's not even about that.
Now you want to get the selfie. You want to get the right action in your Instagram.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get that look.
Yeah, instead of living in the moment, they trying to capture the moment.
Right.
You know, I used to say this one time. Like, I have one of my sisters. She's that person that wants to take a picture every time she sees something. Like, anytime family's around each other, you know, we might not even like each other, but she wants us all to take a picture together. And I'm like, you know, I said, man, you're going to miss the moment trying to capture the moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's where our generation's at. But, like, what I was saying about the club is like, I feel like sometimes people be too drunk to try to introduce them to new music.
No, of course.
And I'm trying to think, maybe we can, the podcast, maybe we'll talk, and I got a bunch of ideas of how you can push this project. I'm excited about all of it. And this I just ended up with a 23 minute episode so far talking to MG the bad guy. And
That's real.
Go ahead and tell everybody where to find your music, where to find you.
It's available on all platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, you name it, it's there.
Bootleggers. You can probably go to the flea. I wonder if do the flea market still have bootleggers right now?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Cause I remember that was the spot. Like, I used to, I had a whole mixtape run. Bootleggers made me famous. I used to target the bootleggers. I was like, let me get this to the bootleggers to get y'all music out.
Right. That's where it starts. That's where it started for me.
And Rich Obama right now, he finding a new way to bootleg your shit.
He probably does right now too. I'm sure.
Anyway, look for MG the Bad Guy, and it's a great album. And I suggest you go. Man, it's not even a long album. You're not even gonna have to take hours and hours to digest it.
It's not boring.
So it's like it caught me, you know, Into the Black, right?
Yeah, Into the Black.
And why that name?
Because it was like a dark time for me.
Okay.
Like building up the momentum of it, like coming from, like, most of those stories on there, like all of the stories on there are true. So it's like a lot of shit I was going through. It was like a real, real bad dark time for me, so you won't really hear no happy music on there, like, you know what I'm saying?
I noticed some of the, let's talk about a couple of the big features you had on there. You had Fiend on there, which, like, Fiend was dope for me. I'm from that era where Fiend was a big deal. Like, some people in this generation may not know who Fiend is, but Fiend was that guy. No Limit days, Fiend was that guy. And,
yeah, he was.
And how did that happen?
Basically, I always been a fan, bro. Like, you know, I love to work with artists that I've been a fan of. And Cap, you know what I mean?
I'm so excited about this project. I know it's going to be a big project for you. This might be one of your big projects that ends up.
Yeah, I've heard already so far as they think it's my biggest one, and I'm like, damn, this is like my shortest.
And this
project
is the one. And this goes back to artists. If you're listening, don't be scared to be creative. Don't be scared to put out something different. If you're not sure, so what? It's music. Have fun.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to put out something people aren't going to like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's what people are afraid of, is they're afraid to put out some shit that people are going to be like, nah, that ain't it, homie. So what? If you put something out, it ain't it. Go back to the drawing board. Do it again.
Try it again.
I listened to Jim Jones's latest project. And I told you, I said, listen. You didn't even know about it. He didn't market it, didn't promote it, did nothing. It just popped up in my new music. And I was like, okay. And he just put out a project less than 6 months ago. So I'm like,
yeah, he did.
And that was a good project, but I'm sure people were in his ear saying, oh, you could have did this. And he just listened. He has an ear that's unique, but I feel like he took a little bit of chances on this, on some of the production. It's just different. It, like, and that's what I'm trying to get across to people. Don't be scared to take a chance, you know?
Yeah, man. And that's different. You know what I'm saying? That's being different.
I didn't expect that from Jim. I did not expect that from Jim.
But that's what it's all about, giving people what they don't expect from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure people ain't expect this from me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, hopefully I get this. I'm going to try to get this podcast uploaded today. And shouts out to you for taking a minute to talk with me. I appreciate you.
Anytime, homie. Anytime.
And you know, you definitely, the Bruce Almighty podcast is new. It still needs some work, but I'm trying to make it a little better every day. Some episodes I'll go back, I'm listening, I'm like, eh. But I get those streams on it, though, so I don't care. Like, if it sucks, I still get a couple streams.
Man, put that shit out, man.
And this will be episode 11. I can't believe I made it to episode 11. I appreciate you, MG. And we're going to have you on the show again. We're going to double back when we get this marketing thing working.
Let's get it. Let's do it. Do the
damn
thing.
All right, folks. I appreciate you, MG. I'll talk to you later.
All right, cool.
Folks, that was MG the Bad Guy. Go look for his project all over. MG, D-A, the Bad Guy. You know we use Ebonics. Bad Guy. And Into the Black. The album is dope. Go check it out.